Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 590. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Now drafted at quarterback by your Chicago Bears, Jeff Derrickson.
Yeah, good luck.
Jeff, how do you feel?
fucked.
Sorry, Jeff.
We're at round 18 so far. No quarterbacks have been drafted.
Really?
Not a single one.
They said it was a weak year for quarterbacks. So.
Strong year for wide receivers, and there have been a ton drafted. I'm waiting for the Patriots to draft a wide receiver who will instantly tear his Achilles, because that's how it works.
That's the way. There I get.
And Earl is here, back from Canada.
Canada. But just so we're clear, this is the Perfectly Sane Show, but not the Perfectly Sane Show. This is the Perfectly Sane Show that is Perfectly Sane Show currently, and not the one that you thought it was, right?
Right, exactly. It's not the original version of it, and it's not the remastered version.
The Perfectly Sane Show Modern Warfare. I don't know.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that, because it wasn't a bit or anything. I was so confused, because I'm like, oh, they're remaking this game, and everybody seems super excited. I'm like, oh, it's not a remake, it's brand new experience.
And then just lost the ability to name things. That's all it is. It's gone. It's like, Sony's got it figured out. They're like, okay, this is the PlayStation. PlayStation 2, 3, 4. They got it. They got it down. They know their numbers. They come in order. Xbox is like, all right, Xbox 360.
One.
I don't know. One X. I'm going to start throwing some like verbiage in there. Nintendo doesn't care. They just make up a new product name every time.
But the good thing about that is at least you know that they're different products.
Ah, but you don't, because you're like, okay, here's the Nintendo Wii. Oh, here's the Nintendo Wii U. It's an add-on. No, it's not an add-on. It's a new product.
I was going to say, the times I think they did, it was that in the 3DS. The 3DS did better. Like, the 3DS does sound like just a new version of the DS.
In fact, the 2DS sounds like a sequel. The 3DS does not. And now, I don't understand what Activision is doing with the Modern Warfare. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But Earl can explain it. He knows. He's an expert.
They're going to run into this again. Well, I guess maybe not, because the last Black Ops game was called Black Ops Cold War. So maybe they don't run into that.
Maybe the problem is that the first Modern Warfare is so old that warfare isn't modern anymore, and that's what's screwing us all up, because that name is just ancient. It's like that warfare, that's the wrong warfare. We should be calling that like pre-modern warfare. I don't know.
But not quite ancient warfare.
it's not ancient warfare. That's something else. That's like World War II now.
But honestly, I think the thing that broke me was finding that there's remasters to both of them. So there's Modern Warfare, there's Modern Warfare 2, there's Modern Warfare Remastered, Modern Warfare Campaign, Modern Warfare 2 Campaign Remastered, and now there's Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, which is very dumb to type out, even more dumb to say. It is ridiculous. Like, I kind of get it. Like, Modern Warfare is the big... It's not the bigger brand. Call of Duty is still a big brand. I got why they went back to it. But it's weird to...
Well, they're sub-brands. Like, Modern Warfare is a brand in itself within Call of Duty, just like Black Ops is. And I think that's what they were trying to.
Yes, but it's like...
They should have just called it Modern Warfare 4, even though it doesn't have any relation.
But wouldn't that mix you up? Because the original was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
It should just be Call of Duty 36. No, just Call of Duty 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 36. And then, you know, when the new one comes out, it's 37.
It would serve them right if nobody bought it, because they're like, I already have this game.
the new Mario should be called Mario's, you know, 28 or whatever.
See, again, but that's different because at least if they came out with a new.
No.
I was going to say, if they came out with a new Super Mario Brothers, then they actually already have a new Super Mario Brothers. If they came out with a Super Mario Brothers, you would expect that to be a remake of Super Mario Brothers, not a new. Okay, I'm not going to, because that's also a very confusing thing.
You know what they should do? I know what it is. I got it. They need to bring in whoever names the games at Square Enix to name the next one.
You know what? Square Enix may have the most random-ass names, but at least I know they're different games.
Call of Duty 358 divided by 2.
Call of Duty Modern Infinite Undiscovery. Something like that.
And it'd be great, because as we are today, Square Enix hate gamers, so they'd give us some really funky names just to mess with them.
Yeah, it's been a weird week with games. And this is just to go back to Call of Duty real quick. This Modern Warfare will be the 19th mainline entry.
It's 36, I think. I've played them all, so I've been paying attention. I was not confused
up until today.
I was not confused. No, I just didn't. I wasn't gonna help clarify it for you guys, but I played all these, so I remembered that they they're like, we're coming, Modern Warfare's coming back, and they just called it Modern Warfare, and then so obviously this is the sequel to that.
I will say
it was good.
I think the biggest thing to me is it just kind of highlighted how much I think it was one of those franchises that's always existed and you kind of knew. But it just kind of highlighted to me that I've just kind of checked out of that entire thing for the past 4 or 5 years.
They're pretty good still. They're pretty fun games.
Good or bad thing. It's just like, I enjoyed them well enough, but I've never been a big fan. And like every year, like, oh, another Call of Duty, you'd get mad at me.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I just moved on. I just didn't realize that like this whole something existed.
I mean, they are a good, at least the ones that have campaigns, because they all haven't had campaigns.
What I thought was good? The Black Ops one. The
Cold War one, the recent one. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I really liked that one. I played a lot of that.
But the campaigns have been like good 5-6 hour roller coasters generally. I don't know if they justify the $60 price tag, but
you get like, the multiplayer alone, you'll get a lot out of that. And then there's always the third, usually zombies mode now.
Yeah.
I think they're worth it. I keep meaning to get the
Vanguard.
That one on sale. And it does go on sale a lot. But I think what holds me back every time is just like going, well, there goes like 40% of your hard drive.
They're so big, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean to get that.
Yeah, so that happened. I guess Modern Warfare 2 announced this week. We all kind of knew that was coming. Well, Earl had checked out. He had forgotten. But
Call of Duty 365/9. Got it.
Yes, that one's coming. And
the other thing, and I mean, I do notice because we talked about it on the show, is that this is also supposed to be the Call of Duty that asked people for 2 years?
Yes, next year's is supposedly shelved.
Yes.
So make Call of Duty 20 is coming. It'll be 2 years from now.
That's what they should start doing, Jeff. They should start doing it at sports games. Call of Duty 2022.
Yeah, honestly. Well,
that would make more sense.
When it was a yearly thing, especially, it would have been. Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to the next Madden 25.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that happened, didn't it?
This is why you don't fuck around with the numbering.
Was that 2013 or 14? It's like somewhere around there, right? Yeah.
Think of how confusing it'll be like 200 years from now when like Modern Warfare comes out in, 2022, Modern Warfare comes out, and then people have to be like, oh, wasn't there one 200 years ago.
But you think back, like, humans have been doing this stuff for millennia, right? Like, the Romans in Latin, like, a Latin noun normally represents, like, five or six different fucking things. So you're going, like, going back to, like, translate Latin, you're like, I have no idea what the sentence is about. Is it about seagulls or, like, shrimp? I can't tell because it's the same word for both things.
Yeah, see, this is why there needs to be standards.
Humans are just are dumb about this kind of thing. They're like, oh, I had to reuse this thing. 10,000 years from now, we'll be trying to figure out which Madden came out in 2014. Where's Madden 14? And it'll be like the search for the long-lost Madden. It'll be like the Holy Grail, and there's going to be like epic crusades for it.
We have three Halloween movies called Halloween.
Yes, I was going to bring that
How
up.
How many will there be?
I was going to bring that up when we were talking about it, because you also have two Halloween twos. But yes, that is another, like, it's because it's the same thing with Scream, because Scream 5 is just Scream again. And that is even more confusing because that is an actual sequel.
They were aware of the problem and commented on it in the movie. And they were like, just called it Scream.
They were like, yeah, we can do this. Yes, it is a very bad trope. I don't know. It's so dumb. Because I get it that I kind of get it with Modern Warfare, to a degree, because it's like, okay, we had a lot of different sub brands, so like we want people to know this in particular is the one they actually enjoy. But yeah, I don't know.
So that happened. There was news earlier today, I think, dropped about Balan Wonderworld.
Well, not news, but
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily news. It was a commentary from the director that had been ousted from the project.
I was about to say former director.
Yeah. That whole thing seems like a shit show. I mean, that game is a shit show that I just bought for $2.71 because I had that $10 thing that Microsoft gave me.
Oh, shit. I still have that, too.
Yeah. I used it to buy a bad game. Balan Wonderworld. But,
they did not give me one, so.
Sorry, so you can't buy Balan Wonderworld for $2.71.
You'll have to buy a good game.
Yeah, with actual money.
Or nothing. Buy nothing, because you didn't.
Could do that, too. Yeah, that whole thing seems like a shit show. And Square doesn't look good out of it, but I don't necessarily think Yuji Naka looks great either.
No, but I think he was just trying to save face,
yeah.
Which I sometimes get.
Yeah, I want to get out there and say, like, hey, it wasn't all my fault.
Yeah, but nobody comes out looking great in that situation, as you said. It's not like, oh, man, they really screwed up this guy's vision. It's like, yeah, this is not good for anybody involved. So, oopsie daisy.
And there was other Square nonsense going on as well, where Sakaguchi, who was the creator of Final Fantasy and used to work at a Square, basically tweeted out after seeing a statue for Final Fantasy that is ridiculously priced. He asked them if they were okay. like, why are you doing this? That's a ridiculous price. Are you okay over there? So Square banging it up real well.
Yeah.
And that's on top of what a couple weeks ago they basically said gamers are stupid. So
that's a good idea. That's always a good choice. Works out well.
Fantastic goings on. Microsoft. I guess Microsoft didn't announce. Activision announced that they had the vote to approve the sale to Microsoft. The shareholders, that was approved like 98% by 98%. So now it has to go through regulatory approval. Some stuff's been going on. It's been a busy week. But Earl, you were in Canada, likely not playing games, I would think. But
Yes and no, to an extent. I think I've said before that when I travel, I have to go to like video game bars.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go to a few of those, or two of them, three maybe, I don't know. Let me see. So I think I posted the first one on Twitter, and that was the one with Mario's nipples out and what they call Cardi P, which is Blackface Peach.
Okay.
Yeah, but that one was interesting. They already had like a handful of machines, but what they do, which is kind of nifty, is like this: each table has like a console. So like our table had a Wii. There's one with a Genesis. There's one with an N64, and you can request games from the bar to play. So that's really cool. Oh, that's cool.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah. Because then it also kind of makes certain tables more prime, I guess. Or, like, oh, I got this table that's, you know, like, let's bust out the N64, let's play stuff. I mean, the most popular games tend to be Smash Brothers and Mario Kart. There's not a ton of four-player games on the Genesis and other systems like that. But that was cool. And then when I was in Vancouver, I stayed with a friend. And we ended up playing, or he ended up beating me several times in Windjammers 2. Which I forget if we talked about on the show before.
I don't think so.
It's on Game Pass. It's a ton of fun. I mean, it's essentially high intensity Pong. It's like one of those games. Like, again, like I said, I kept on losing, but it felt so good to play that. I was just like, oh yeah, one more. And some really fun characters. I like that each stage kind of has its own gimmick. And scoring points, so it's not like necessarily like, oh, I'm going to develop one strategy, because it's like sometimes it might be that the middle has the highest score, sometimes it's the two edges, sometimes you get more points for dropping the frisbee than you do actually scoring into the net. I think the Vegas one, each round the points are different, so it might be that you give up points in one round. So that you know, the next time might be 4 points or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really fun, colorful, kinetic. I really dug that. The second one I went to was in Toronto, and that was that this was more of a traditional. Oh, actually, I went to two in Toronto, so yes, I did go to three. This was more of a traditional Dave and Buster's, if you've been to that, or GameWorks if you're in the Midwest, which is essentially just kind of a Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Yeah.
You go, you buy a badge, you know, stock up, and I got to play a lot of games there. I played the new House of the Dead. There's a Halo shooter.
Yeah, I've been wanting to play that one. It looked pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and it's four players, so it's kind of funny. It's like me and my friend are playing, and then like some two random people joined us and stuff like that. It's a huge cabin. It's really gorgeous and stuff like that. But it's really funny because it seems like it's more about shooting enemies than like, you're like, hell yeah, you get headshots. They usually take out like grunts and stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like some of them just have like a hidden health bar, so... It was kind of annoying when it's like, okay, I shot this in. Oh no, I gotta continue shooting to kill it. But I do like that it's a nice mix. Like, one, you're not Master Chief. I think it's just a bunch of random Spartans. They do have names, but like, honestly, outside of Master Chief, do you know any of the Spartans' names?
Noble Six.
And the one, the guy two, you play, three, four, and
that's it. Like, maybe I might like. I think one of them is called Cat, the sniper lady in Reach. They have like more personality, like a little bit. And there's Nathan Fillion too in Halo 5.
But his name, yeah, but the character's name isn't Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, no, I was going to say. Like, I know his Buck. I know there's other characters in 5 because 5 has a whole different squad. I just don't know their names. It's just like, and the worst part about it is like I play co-op with 5 and you pick your character. It's like, no, yeah. One of us is Master Chief and the rest of us are those other people. And the other squad, we just pick at random because we don't care who we are. So,
yeah, there's Locke like controls. He's like the leader of the other squad, and then I don't know any of the other ones.
So there you go. But yeah, that was a ton of fun. What else did I play? Oh, there's a Ninja Turtles beat 'em up. This is based off of not the most recent show, but the show that aired in 2012, the CG one. And that was fun. I mean, I don't think it flowed as well as the old school ones, but again, it's Ninja Turtles. We played a rabbit game. A lot of them were like good games. Those are really popular in this thing. And that was fun too. And I think we played a Hot Wheels game, which I thought was really interesting because I'm sure if you've gone to arcades before, you've seen, you know, the drive-in ones, but this one was weird. Could you stand up? Because usually they have you seated. So when you drive a car, you're seated.
Yeah.
But this one, you stand up and you press the pedal while standing and steer the wheel. I thought it was an odd
design. I've seen some of them, like older arcades. I've seen some like where, you know, you play like Outrun standing up. But like the cool arcades had like the whole Outrun cabinet where you'd sit down and it felt like you're in a car. Another one like that is the Star Wars arcade one. Like, if you play that normally, it was like in this big cabinet. You felt like you were sitting in an X-Wing, but then they would have like just the stand-up ones too. It was not as good.
But yeah, I don't know. I was gonna say some. It's like not this one, but I think it's Time Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Time Cop is the Van Damme movie. Time Crisis, like one of the older ones, did something like that. Like you press the pedal to walk, and then when you get go of it, that's when you would duck. And I thought that was interesting because that does kind of translate to movement in a way. But
that's a cool mechanic.
Yes. And then the final one I went to was another bar in Toronto. This one was called I haven't said the names of any of the other ones, so. What was this one called? I don't remember. And this one is, I think I was not on the show when I went to Orlando. This one, you pay $5 and all the games are unlocked. So everything, like once you're in, you can play all the arcade games. They have something like a dozen pinball machines, and then they got a ton of arcade machines. I played WrestleFest, which is always one of my go-tos. And I will say, I beat the game, but it also kind of is just cheapens the experience because, like, I didn't do it. But whoever was before me just inputted a ton of coins. So there's, like, 35 coins in it. So it's, like, God. Yeah, thank it's, you. Like, I mean, again, it's free. But people just keep on pressing the button. So I'm, like, oh, okay. So I'm just going to, like, I think I ended up using two of them. But I'm, like, it kind of cheapens the experience where you're not actually working on your quarters.
Right.
What else did I play? I did a bunch of pinball, and I honestly don't. I get pinball, but I don't get pinball. It's like a lot of stuff just happens. I'm like, okay, sure, that counts, I guess, for points.
I've never been able to figure out, like, because there's all like these, like, if you do this five times, like, it'll unlock this, and I've never been able to figure it out. I just hit the paddles.
Yeah, there is like rules or whatever. Yeah, like you guys are explaining, but it's like I don't know, I do what I can and that's it. Like, even if I knew what you had to do to, like, you know, like I wouldn't be able to do it, so
right,
it doesn't matter anyway.
I'm just trying to keep the ball in play.
but
there are people who, like, there's a skill to it, there's an arc and ability, and I'm just like, yeah, I'll take your word. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just, because I think there's also a strategy, like, okay, you know, I think most people, well, I can't say most people, I do, it's like you tend to hit it, like you try to hit it as hard as far as possible, but it's like a strategy where it's like, oh no, you hit it like at this here, so it goes this way, you get certain points if you go this way, and it's like, yeah, and then like some people, if you tap it, you can flip it to the other side and then whack it really quickie, so it shoots up in a different direction. I'm like, yeah, I don't have any of that strategy.
Let's slide down the paddle a little bit.
Yeah. Separately, but similarly, because I had a friend who came in from LA this week, and I met up with them and went to a bar with pinball, and there was a machine next to our table, and like somebody's playing a game with three different balls at once, and they're just like, I can't even keep up with one, and you're juggling like three of them at once. I'm like, bravo to you, I guess. But yeah, it was a overall fun experience. A ton of great bars. I found one of my favorite nerdy bars, which is actually not related to video games to an extent, but that was great as well. And the worst thing is I actually loaded up my Switch with a bunch of games. I bought some new games. I downloaded some old ones. Like, I got so many flights, I'm going to have time to play stuff. And I played nothing on my Switch the entire week. And it's not the Switch's fault. It was just like, yeah, I read, I wrote, I did some puzzles. I watched Chalk. I was like, anything but video games, I guess. So hopefully I get to some of them this weekend.
Fair. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your trip. I'm assuming the one other bar that you went to that you kind of liked, was that the one where you rolled for the shots?
Yes.
That sounds like a cool idea.
It's a really cool idea. I was trying to think if they had anything video game specific-y. I think they did. I mean, one of the shots I actually ended up getting was called Katana's Kiss, which is from Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. But like, oh man, what was it? Because they have this really amazing, because I forgot if I showed the video of that or not, or maybe I did the pictures, but there's this amazing thing. It's an Infinity Gauntlet shot, so you get six shots, and it's on a board that lights up underneath, and each one is colored as a different Infinity Stone.
Ooh.
And every time somebody orders it, they play the kid for Thanos saying, like, you know, I forget, like, you know, where did this see you to me or something like that. And they, you know, the entire bar, the two-level bar, the entire bar, they will play that skip. They'll play some music. The bartender will walk around with it. They'll walk one way and then come back to wherever the person is because they want to show it off and stuff like that. And that was really nifty. We got that. And then the other one they did, which was really cool, is if they had a drink called the Beetlejuice. If you order three of them, because, you know, Beetlejuice. Yep. They would play the theme song and the whole lights and smoke things as well. And that was actually really cool because you get, it's a drink and then it comes with like two gummy worms. So I tell you, they went all out. It was amazing to see. It was just top notch from the food is themed after, like, I mean, it's food, but it's like named after popular stuff. The drinks are named after, like, the shots. Like I said, I had a Beetlejuice. One of the shots I got was a Xenomorph brain fluid. There's a Dark Knight shot. So one of the things I got was Cthulhu's Tiki, which was it's a tiki mug shaped like Cthulhu, and then like they used it out of dry ice. I don't know what they do because you can't actually ingest dry ice.
No,
but they use some of it so that it's like some of the drinks smoke and bubble and ball, and it's really cool. They were really careful because, like, there was one drink we got where, like, a little sliver of dry ice got in, and they had to take it back to make sure that, you know, we got a clean one. But yes, it was absolutely amazing. It was, like I said, one of probably my favorite nerd bars I've been to anywhere.
Fun. Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Sorry. Yeah, one more thing, and this is more for maybe more for Tony because they. Because I also tried a Space Invader beer. I mean, it's called Space Invader. It was an IPA. I mean, it's an IPA, but it was pretty solid. But I was just like, I saw it at one of the bars. I'm like, oh man, there's a Space Invader bar. I need a Space Invader beer. I need to get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really cool. The tap is like the Space Invader logo and stuff like that. And like I said, it's an IPA, so it tastes good. But I'm kind of over IPAs now. So.
How dare you?
I've been switching to like I said, I'll do a lager, I'll do a New England IPA, I'll do a pale ale, but like, and again, it's not that I'm not over it. Like, I'm not gonna drink them, but I feel like after a while they kind of taste very similar. I don't want to say samey because they are different, you know, but like they're hoppy and they're kind. And again, I enjoy the taste, but it's like after a while, it's like, oh, you've had one IPA, you've had a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have to switch it up or just switch to a different kind of IPA.
Yeah.
Like a hazy or a dark IPA or something.
Or a DIPA or triple IPA.
something that doesn't taste like a pine tree.
The good ones don't taste like pine trees.
That's true.
The bad ones, like, there are ones that I agree taste just like pine tree. It's fucking disgusting.
How many people are drinking pine trees here that you know what it tastes like?
I don't know, when you go out in the winter, you can smell a pine tree. Yeah, like, it's that.
That doesn't mean I'm eating them.
Right, but you get that taste in your mouth, like, when it's like a pine, when that pine is really strong. And like, that's some of the IPAs I've had have tasted like that. It's like, this is gross. Well, glad you had a good time in Canada. I went to Boston, which is not Canada, for PAX East. And that was
near Canada.
Thing. Near
closer
Canada.
Closer to Canada than where you are.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. Probably it's probably still about 7 hours from Canada, but. Might actually
7 hours? No, it's a lot closer.
Is it closer than that? I don't know. I've not driven to
maybe 3 hours from Canada. Okay, so at most.
Well, I mean, Greg, if you drive through like Vermont, like you're probably pretty much right there, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm thinking more if you drive through like New Hampshire or Maine. That's probably a trip all the way to the top of Maine.
I mean, if you drive the wrong way to Canada,
yeah. I'm not driving to Canada from there anyway. But yeah, I was in Boston. PAX East happened. I went with two of my kids. That was a weird thing that happened. Way smaller than it's ever been. And that's probably even back to when it was at the other convention center, which is smaller. The floor was really open. None of, like, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, none of them were there. So I think I told Jeff last night, like, the biggest game there was, like, the new Turtles game. That was the only one I had to wait in line for. Everything else was pretty much you just walk up and
that play. Was the big game of the show?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Like they had, like, Saints Row was there, but it didn't look like it was playable. Where was there a line around?
What are you trying to say about turtles, Tony?
I'm
those sound like fight words to me, Earl.
It's just not like a super anticipated game. Like, wait, Earl loves turtles.
What? Whoa. It is a high anticipated game.
Where do you think it will sell in the top, say, 50 of games that come out this year?
Well, see, I think that's hard to say because it seems like it's mostly. I was going to say because it's mostly a digital title. And I could also see it being on Game Pass, but I think it will do well.
That's not.
I think it'll do really well.
Let's have a convention around how many people will show up to play just Ninja Turtles and see how many people show up.
A lot of people would show up.
Sure, Earl and his friends.
Yeah, I mean there was other stuff there, but that was like the big thing. Like. Gearbox was there, but they brought, like, what was it, Tiny Tina's Tales from the Wonderlands or whatever. That was there, but that game's already out. Like,
yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. There were games that were already out that were there, and they were from maybe some bigger studios, but there was nothing. It was not cramped like it has been in the past, and there was no Nintendo there, so this would have been, they would have had a giant display for Switch Sports if it had been there. Microsoft probably would have had whatever their next big thing coming out is. Who the hell knows what that is, because we haven't seen anything since Halo. Nothing like super big or AAA really that you would expect from it, which was, it's fine. Like, I enjoyed walking around the floor. My kids were able to just kind of walk up and play stuff. The panels kind of sucked. So we were done with the floor on the one day we were there. I could have gone back the next day and it was like, I've already seen the floor. These panels suck. So we're going to go to a museum in Boston. what I did play, though, is I played Shredder's Revenge. that was a lot of fun. It feels very much like the classic arcade Turtles games. And I think that we were able to play the first two levels of the game. And like you end up at the end of those, you fight Bebop and Rocksteady. Different, like not together, but you fight them separately in the two different levels. Plays great, feels great. I have a feeling that they toned the difficulty down a little bit because myself and the random that I was paired up with, we did not die at all. I didn't even take really all that much damage.
Oh no.
But,
cheaters.
But I like that happens at conventions, right? They're like, oh, you want to like, we want people to feel good and not feel like you're getting your ass kicked. But it looks great. I don't know if it sounds great. That's the one thing. Cause they didn't have headphones.
So that I was going to ask, because one of the other things that came out this week is that they actually got back the original, well, mostly the original cast from the original game, original series to voice the characters. And I saw IGN had a clip of it, but so far the clip was just mostly them grunting and stuff and like, hiya, and I'm like, okay, so you got people back to say.
There are cutscenes
okay.
That happen now. Like, so when I was playing, they were, you know, they're actually pretty long, but like text was coming up on the screen that clearly, like, you know, characters were talking back and forth, but because there was no sound, I couldn't really hear how it went. But yeah, game plays great. It looks like what you expect. I think it's going to be a ton of fun for at least three of the four of us.
I don't hate the idea of Ninja Turtles. I'm just saying it's not like
I'm Mario. Not getting that trash.
Okay. You're not getting Turtles?
Does that game have a release date?
Summer.
We don't talk about it.
I wasn't, you know,
wasn't supposed to be out last year, Earl?
It was.
Like
it
last was. Spring.
Because they announced it in March of 2021, which is coming soon.
Saw like $150 collector's edition of it or some crazy bullshit. Did I dream that?
No, yes. That was
Earl did.
No, I haven't even looked into it yet because it came out when I was in Canada and I couldn't pre-order up there because like everything defaults to Canadian websites.
Right.
So I was like, oh,
yeah. You're gonna have this collector's edition and still not give a release date. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
sometime in the summer, Jeff.
Okay, we are about there.
Nope,
like
2 months, still 2 months. And that's just the start of the summer. It can go all the way to the middle of September before summer's over.
They could push it another year for all I care. I'm not playing that trash.
Bring it on. I think it is going to be a ton of fun.
We know the price. Like, if you don't want crazy, like, you just want to download it with the price of that game is going to be 20 bucks, 30.
That would be my guess. It's not going to be any more than 30. And I would think 20. I think
price sounds right to me, man.
I think Streets of Rage was 20 when that came out.
That seems right to me because I don't think I want to pay 30 for it. Gotta be honest.
I do wonder if we're gonna get an announcement that it's gonna hit Game Pass because Streets of Rage 4 was Game Pass day.
Yeah,
one.
I think it still might be on there.
It's leaving soon. Tony did play some of it though.
It's leaving very, very soon.
You should finish it up.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you didn't like it?
It's fine. It's not my thing.
Yeah, that's me too. Like, I don't like that style of game, but it's really short. Like, you know, it's one of those games. It's like, what, six levels or something? Get those achievements, Tony.
I don't like achievements. I'm mad at achievements. You know why I'm mad at achievements?
No.
They added NBA 2K22 to Game Pass and to celebrate. They added a thing where if you got an achievement in NBA 2K22, you got 250. I played a pickup game of NBA 2K, and I turned down all the sliders. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna get as many achievements in this game as I can. I'm gonna like win like 90-20 and like get all. It didn't unlock a single achievement.
Ooh.
You're supposed to get one for literally one for just winning a game. Didn't get that one. Winning by 10 is also one. Being up 10 at the half, outscoring the other team by 10 points in a quarter. I did all of those things and did not get a single achievement in the game.
Why did you not? What happened?
I don't know. I'm angry. I'm enraged by this.
I'm not angry at achievements, but I am angry at the reward system. we'll circle back on that at end in a minute, though. So played Shredder's Revenge. There was this other game called Lego Brick Tales that I did not personally play, but I watched my son play, and that seems really cool. It's a puzzle game where you are to traverse through the environment. You are solving puzzles by building stuff with Legos. That's fun. So it's not, you know, it's not like the traditional Lego game like Star Wars just came out where you're shooting things. And at least what we played of it so far, it was like, you know, build a set of stairs. So like you had a certain amount of blocks and you had to build stairs to be able to climb up. Build a bridge that you can go across, and they give you like certain pieces. So you have to figure out a way to connect them to get across the bridge. You'll run like a sample on it. And if the little robot can get across, then it'll actually allow you to utilize it. Otherwise you won't be able to cross the bridge because it's not stable enough. So I thought like that was an interesting approach to, and maybe the right approach to how Lego games should be. Cause you know, like these Lego games with pop culture, like based on movies and stuff, they're fun, but they're not really what Lego is. Like Lego is about kind of, you know, putting stuff together and, all right, yeah, like you buy a set, you follow the book, but like a lot of kids, like once you build it the first time, like the Legos all come apart and then you just have like a big bucket of Legos and kids go in a corner and build shit.
That was the point of the Lego Movie 1.
Yeah. I think that this little game, and it should be coming out soon. I think that could be a cool approach to like Lego games going forward. And then I played watched another game from the studio called Sunblink. It's kind of like a MOBA type thing, but it's single player. So you're not playing with other people, but it is like mobs and, you know, you're taking down towers and stuff. They were going to call it Rune. It's not named yet, but it's coming to Switch. That one was fun. What I watched of it, like cool, goofy looking characters, but I think it's going to be free to play. And that could be, you know, like some of that stuff gets not great. So I'll have to wait. And also wait on a name because I don't really know what it's called yet. They said they might call it Rune. And then we played a pair of card games because at PAX, like they have this big board game area as well. We played one called Runes and Regulations, which is you get a set of cards and on one hand, you have stuff in your hand, and then on your fence, you have runes, and those runes can be applied to different things. But the objective is you're trying to get 5 mythical creatures onto your lawn, and then the other people playing are trying to also do that, but stop you from getting it by changing the homeowner regulations. By playing the runes or playing other cards that they have in their deck. It was interesting. My kids enjoyed playing it, so that was fun. And then we bought one called Danger. And you've all played like Apples to Apples or Cards Against Humanity, stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah, so similar concept, where... You know, one person they're the judge, and then everybody else has to convince them of that their thing is the best thing. And the person that's the judge picks a card up, and that card will have a scenario on it. Like, you are suspended over a a pool of scorpions. And then the other people that are playing, they have to come up with a scenario to save you based on the cards in their hand.
Oh, that's
fun. And so you have a skill card and you have a tool card, and like your skill and your tool can be put together to come up with a scenario, and you can embellish it a little bit. So you know, you're coming up with fun ideas on how to save the other person. And then the other players can also throw on what is called a plot twist, and basically change up whatever's happening. And so it's like, all right, I have laser eyes and super speed or whatever. Like, or I'm able to like throw something out to catch you over that of scorpions, and somebody can then throw in that like you can't see. So like your laser eyes don't work anymore. So then you have to figure out a way with the card you have to still save the person, or basically you're fucked. But it still comes down to, you know, it's a little bit, it's all based on the person you're playing to. So you have to play to their sensibilities. So you don't want to play it with strangers, because you're not going to know.
You have no idea. Yeah.
You play it with family or friends, and you'll know how to manipulate the table and play to
get like, oh, team. Sonic jumps out and saves him with his super speed, and the rest of us are like, nah. And Jeff's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a fun twist, and all the cards are like family friendly. So you know, we were able to play it with the little one. Not like my older kids, it doesn't really matter at this point. They don't, like, they've been exposed to everything, but the 10-year-old maybe not as much as some of them, and this is still a little bit family friendly for her. So that was PAX East. Then we went to the Boston Science Museum the next day, and that was fun. And they kicked us out at 5 o'clock, but
oh no,
it seems to be when museums close. The aquarium also closed at 5.
Was your, I guess, how is people feeling? Because I did see that there were a few cases after the fact of some people reporting on getting COVID.
Nobody here ended up sick. We've done testing since we got home. And nobody tested positive. So I think we escaped out of there unscathed. That was the other thing. It was, you had to show a vaccination card to even get into the building.
Oh, okay.
And then they give you a green bracelet. And then you had to be masked the entire time.
That's good.
Yeah.
I did not even know they took that many precautions. I still really don't have any intentions of doing big conventions anytime soon, but I was just, I didn't know what, because, you know, it's been a weird week. It's like, even during, like, while I was in Canada, the United States, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you don't have to wear masks on planes and airports.
Why would you do that? Why? Why do you need to do that? It doesn't make any sense.
It was funny because, so we caught two different news stories about PAX, while we were up here. So when we got up to Massachusetts, we stopped at my grandmother's, and on TV there, they were doing like the preliminary, like, oh, it was first day of PAX and showing everybody in the costumes. And it wasn't really all that in depth. But then on Sunday, we stopped at my grandmother's again. And on the news, they were talking to whoever is the guy in charge of the conventions for PAX. And they were questioning them. I'm like, so like, why did you guys decide to have vaccinations and masks? Like, there's no mask policy in Boston anymore, and vaccines aren't mandated for being inside. And they're like, well, we just wanted to make it as secure as possible and keep everybody as, you know, as healthy as we can. Which, to me, like, that was the right answer. But it was,
can, bitch.
Right. It was just so weird seeing the news. Like, well, why would you do this? Like,
How dare you?
Right, like it's I don't know. It's like I don't see any harm in people showing a vaccination card and being masked at an event. Like, and when you bought the tickets or you applied for your passes, it tells you up front that that's what you need to do to get in. So
I went to go see churches last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, yeah, you had to have a vaccination card, but like you could have easily just had like a yellow index card and like totally got in. They're going so fast with it that like, yeah, I'm sure there were people that got in that did not actually have a vaccination card. Like,
oh yeah, I'm sure that like for sure some of that stuff they're just like passing through. But these guys did check it. They checked at the very least they checked to look that the card looked like the actual COVID-19 vaccination card. And what was that?
I'm sorry. No, I honestly, it was like there were signs everywhere and they would tell you, oh, pull it out. But like when you got to the front, they were not looking. They were just like waving you through, like, get in. Like, anyways. Yeah.
So like for this, like they were actually looking at the card, and then like you had to have your ID as well, so mm-hmm. they could verify them. So I thought that was good. Yeah. So that was our trip to Boston. It was fun. I do expect that, in probably next year, it'll be back to being normal, provided that COVID continues to be pushed down a little bit. But across the board, it seems like everybody is giving up anyway. So we just got notification at work that masks are now optional, and they're getting rid of the temperature screening.
I'm surprised you folks still had temperature screenings.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
Had that. That would have been nice.
Our company is run by medical people. Like, that's a large portion of what we do. So I personally think like the temperature screening is silly. Like, doesn't necessarily mean that. I mean, if you have a fever, you're probably sick, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have COVID.
Right.
And people that have COVID, yeah.
You could have COVID without
having a fever. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, it would stop people from having a fever going.
Yeah. There's people that would do that. So, yeah, and they'll be back to doing that, I'm sure. Like, yeah. And that's annoying. Like,
not my ass. I'm fucking calling in sick this weekend for no reason at all. If I'm actually feeling sick, I'm going to not be there.
Jeff is like, I'm just calling in sick. I need a reason.
I thought about doing tomorrow and Saturday, but I'm just going to call in Saturday. Fuck him.
Fuck the man.
So that's our traveling that we've been doing. Tony, you play anything this past week?
Other than NBA 2K, which made me angry, and more MLB The Show, I didn't play anything.
I'm sorry, NBA
made me angry. I wanted achievements, and I did not get them.
Tony, you were supposed to have something so I could go make a drink.
Why? I mean,
you have to go to Earl still, don't you?
No, I was first.
Earl didn't play anything. You said when he played.
You guys need to start playing some fucking video games.
Earl was in Canada. And he played a bunch of stuff.
I don't care. He's
at bars.
He brought his Switch.
He said he didn't play anything.
I'll go, Jeff.
All right. I don't want to hear what you're playing anyway. I'll be right back.
Jeff doesn't want to hear what I'm going to say. I don't think I like Rare games.
Oh, Jeff, come back. Come back.
I don't know. So I talked about this 2 weeks ago when Jeff wasn't on. I played Banjo Nuts and Bolts it was one of the 10 games this month that if you earned an achievement in it, you were supposed to get, like, it would unlock the thing and you could get your 500 free bonus rewards points.
Right.
That never happened.
You didn't get achievement.
I played all
it
the did, way.
It didn't,
It didn't unlock. Ever. I unlocked over 60% of the achievements in that game. It never unlocked the entire month. And that game's not good. I kind of hate played it. I probably should have quit at some point. That's a problem I need to work on, where it's like I need to quit playing games that aren't good and I'm not enjoying. But it was like just stringing me on enough where I was getting like an achievement a day from it. So it's like, all right. And then I was like, oh, well, now I'm like, I have 60 of these jiggy things, which are these puzzle pieces. And you only need 75 to fight the final boss. All right, fine. I'm just going to do it. And I wrapped up and got the final 15 of them and then fought the boss. It's a cool idea and concept where it's vehicle based. You take components and you can build different vehicles. But the actual mechanics of building them are faulty. They're not great. And then the controls of the actual vehicles that the game provides you are squirrely. It's all over the place. And like, I like racing games and I like driving in games. And it was just brutal to play. And that, you know, I'm looking back and it's like, I think I only like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark from Rare. I don't know if I like any of their other games. They did the original Donkey Kong Country, right, Earl?
Yes.
Yep. I don't like those. I don't like Conker, and I know that like
I should not have come back. I don't like this.
Literally, the first thing that Chris said after you left was, "I don't think I like Rare games."
That's wrong. Kind of wrong.
I've not Banjo Nuts and Bolts is the first Banjo game I've actually finished, and it's not good. But I don't like that style of platformer anyway. You know what Banjo and Banjo-Tooie do, where it's kind of, Ukulele is kind of like that too, right, Jeff? Where you kind of like wander around and pick shit up. Yeah, I don't find that engaging. I didn't like Sea of Thieves, which I don't think any of us really did. No. Maybe Earl, maybe you liked it with friends.
Not really.
Okay,
so we played it with friends too. Like we tried.
I liked what I played of it, but I think I played it when it was still beta. I think I don't know. Like
so outside of GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, and maybe like I like Viva Pinata. That's a
I was just about to ask game. You. Viva Pinata is fantastic. Yeah. I think it might be their best game.
That may be. But like I don't know. Like, and I went back and played some of the Rare replay and was like, these are cool, like, you know, historical artifacts, but don't really like playing most of them.
That's a lot of old games though, like.
Yeah. I don't know. I never played Grab by the Ghoulies. Maybe that's one that I'd like. Nah, I don't know. No. I found that was a running gag in Nuts and Bolts, is that Grab by the Ghoulies is trash. Because they kept having me like throw it into the trash. and they kept saying it was a shitty game.
I don't like what you're saying. I don't like this.
It's like I don't like them. Like I'm not saying that other people can't like them. I'm not saying that they make shitty games. I'm saying I don't think.
What I really heard here was that Chris says that people who like Rare games are bad people. That's what my takeaway is.
I don't know, man. That some of the games that they've made are like undeniably quality games. Like it's just certain things don't even like you. Saying like you know you like Perfect Dark, right? Like
yeah.
it was a great game, but it's like you know games don't always age great. Like even that no, now, like it's not something.
And it did. Really want to play the that crazy, much. The crazy thing about Perfect Dark is like if you didn't have like what the N64 expansion pack, that game ran like shit. and still didn't run great, even with the expansion pack.
Nope. It is so funny in hindsight to just see, hey, people can't talk about frame rates now, and like, those games make 15, 20. Now we're ashamed if it's not back at 30 at least.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, they've it's not even worth really arguing this, because like, they're kind of like something different now anyways, but back in the day, they, you know, love them or not, it's like the games all had, a lot of them had like cutting edge tech to them, like,
oh, I, you know, like, I can't deny that, right? Like, Donkey Kong Country, and even now, it still looks pretty good. Like, that is aged. The tech on that is aged real well.
And they have the charm. Like, I really like the music in their games. Whoever they had composing the music was awesome, always.
Grant Sturkhope or something like that. Kirkhope?
Yeah, they got him to do... I think the ukulele people have him now. Like, yeah. Or he might have, he did
the new Donkey Kong
one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he makes good music.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Where were we? I missed how. Oh, because you were playing Nuts and Bolts.
Nuts and Bolts, which I think is a bad game. But I like
people who like bad people.
I famously made a video about how angry I was about that game.
Well, I beat it, and I don't like it. And yeah, so that happened. I also beat Tunic.
Yeah, preach. Tell us.
Yeah, I am really confused by the love for this game. Like, really, really confused.
I don't know. I was digging it for a while.
Yep, I was too. And then in the last third of the game... it just, like, it becomes insanely difficult. And it was already hard, right? Like, you can't take much damage. And if you're not able to find the items to upgrade, like, you really can't take much damage. But I had found everything I could. I got, like, up to, like, level 5, I think, for health and stamina. So I could take a little bit of damage. But then you get to this one place. It's called the Quarry. And there is there's like this goo over everything, this pink goo. And if you get too close to it, it drains your health down to a sliver. It won't kill you outright, but it drains it down to, like, if you take a hit at all, you're dead. And you have to make these long runs between save points to be able to advance the game, and like, it becomes brutally unfun.
Yeah.
And that whole pink goo also, like, it gives you this weird strobe, and can't think of the term, but like, when you have like infrared or something, and the color, like, it just becomes blinding. You actually can't see, like, where you're moving, and that's another problem. I think, Jeff, you mentioned it when you talked about it previously, is the actual viewpoint, because it's that isometric view, and the way, but it's isometric, and it's in this 3D environment, so you can't see certain things. And then
the whole game is like built around that, like,
yeah,
and I just don't. I personally just don't like that. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Yeah. It's not cool. I eventually just, like, I got to a point in that, the quarry section, where I just turned on the, basically there's a god mode that.
You won't take damage. I think it's when I reached the boss of the quarry is when I switched to it as well. And then it was like, it kind of sucks everything else out of the game in a way too. When there's no, like,
there's no challenge at that point.
It's just like, and near the end of the game, like, so after you beat that boss, you think it's like almost over, but it's not. Like, there's still more.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, like, that last stretch of the game is just padding. It's just like, go do that. Like, you're just retreading areas you've been to.
Yep.
And with no direction. Like, there is, like, literally one of those stupid, like, go to every area to collect this thing type thing, but you don't know where you're supposed to go in that area unless you remember where you saw it. Was it the arrow statues?
Yeah, but you don't have to do that either.
Oh, you don't?
You can totally skip.
Which I would skip.
Yeah, I accidentally... So, at some point in the game, it unlocks this, like, warp area. So you can, like... You stand on these golden platforms, and it takes you to this other plane of existence, and that like, you can then jump onto different platforms there.
There's a bunch of little squares that will take you to the other warp points.
Yeah, so I was going...
It's like a central hub for the warps.
I was going through, going to the hero statues and getting my... So I'm in, like, this... You're this, like, blue kind of ghosty thing, because you go up against the final boss and it kills you immediately, but you're supposed to die. And so now you're stuck as, like, ghost tunic or whatever. And then you can go around and collect up, like, as Jeff said, you go to these hero graves or hero, you know, monuments or whatever. And you pray there, and you pop out, and you can pick up different items. And if you get all six of them, you can go back to being the cute little fox that you were.
You're alive again, and you have all your shit, and you're ready. And I guess you're right that if you're on the guide boat anyway, what does it fucking matter?
So I accidentally, like, I'm trying to do that, right? I gotten, like, four of the six or whatever.
I just thought you had to do it.
And... Well, I was like, all right, I don't know where I need to go next. So I started, like, jumping onto the different platforms. Well, one of the platforms drops you into the final boss, and you can't back out of it. Like, if you die, that's where it starts again. So that's where I ended up. I did go back, and, like, it'll, after you beat the boss, it, like, gives you the option of doing. So that's the other thing. Did you beat the boss in combat, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so.
There's two endings to the game. That's the bad ending.
How else would you beat the boss?
So you don't fight the boss. Like, there is an option to not fight the boss, and you have to find all of the... you're picking up those pages as you go through for the game instruction manual. If you complete that, and I did not do this... but I did see the video for it after I finished the game. If you complete the book, you go to that final boss and you present the book to the big giant fox dude. And that's the ghost form. And that fox cries, and then the game ends.
Like, you're so proud you finished the instruction booklet. Game over.
Yeah. Well, I think it turns back like that. The ghost fox turns into a, like, basically a larger version of you. And then the ending, which, if you remember, like, you maybe don't, because it's not very memorable. But the ending is, like, these, like, locations in the game, and like, the first one is like a TV with, like, two controllers or something. But it's empty if you fight the boss. And all these locations that you go to are empty if you fight and defeat the boss. If you give the instruction book, though, there's a different... Like, the credits have different scenes where you and the big fox are now playing video games and jumping on the bed and playing... Like, okay. It's like you're just like they are enjoying themselves in all those areas that are empty... If you fight the boss.
I did not know about any of this. I just, I was, like, forcing myself at the end there. I was, like, using a guide and just going, okay, where's all the heroes' graves? And
yeah.
I didn't like it after I reached the quarry.
Yep.
And, I actually complained about, because, like, that, once you reach the quarry, it becomes that shit, like you said, that shrinks your health bar.
Mm-hmm.
I complained about that on Twitter after I beat the game. I'm like, there's way too much bullshit with that at the end. Like that's not just in the quarry. It's like everything after that is using that. Like,
yeah, you're fighting these enemies that then they hit you and they suck your energy down to none because they're all draped in this pink shit.
So, like, in the original Dark Souls, there's these frogs that will curse you. And what they do is, like, shrink your health bar. Like, your full health bar like, keeps getting smaller to the point where it's like you got almost no health bar, and it fucking sucks. Like, it's like, you know, you can't use the health and fill it up because there's no more health to fill up. Your bar is gone. And guess what? They stopped putting those enemies into their fucking games after the first Dark Souls. You know why? Because they realized that it fucking sucked. And, like, this guy built the whole last third of his game around that type of thing. Now, like, in Dark Souls 1, you had to actually find a merchant to pay to have the curse lifted. Here, it's just like, if you die, you got your health bar back. But it's still, like, just not fun. It sucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I think the game is you know, cool, and I think it looks great up until you get to the quarry, and then it just becomes a shit show that I'm not a fan of.
I think it was overrated. There's something there, and I think when I beat it, I said, this is, like, pretty neat, and it's very impressive for kind of, like, a one-man show, like, the fact that, like, this guy...
Yeah. And it is, this, yeah. But, that one guy did it, and, like,
you know,
really neat.
It pulls from another one-man game, though, Fez, and I think Fez is a much better game. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a game where you're trying to, you know, piece things together, and that I think is what's the cool part about Tunic is, like, you're piecing this together, yeah. These mysteries, and you're finding these items, and when you find them and you link them together, like, you're getting little pieces of the language that's been created. So then you understand a little bit more. I think that's neat. I think that, you know, his decision to go, like, super hard. And I also think that might be why that, like, God mode and like the take no damage there's also a, you can basically keep unlimited stamina as well. There's two different toggles. I wonder if he put them in there just for the fact that, like...
Is he broke his own game?
Yeah, the end of the game is so broken that he's just like somebody may be able... Like, there are definitely people that can do it.
Oh, yeah. No problem. But
like, if you want people to solve the mystery, like, you need to be able to let them do that, and your game becomes unfun.
It's hard, you know, up until then, but not, like, it's not, like,
it's doable.
Crazy. Yeah, it's, like, often when I would get to a boss, I could not beat them, but if I just, because he did this, like, open design, which I appreciate, like, you could come back. So once you come back after you've found enough stuff to level up, like, I didn't have... Anytime I circled back to the bosses, I did not really have trouble with them.
Right. You get to a point where you can't get to fight them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. It's like you reach a point where it's like, well, there's no circling back because I'm near the end of the game now. I found all the things I could have found. Like, I guess I could go scour the map again and hope for something, you know? But, so then it becomes apparent, like, and then, like, he makes those final few things, like, so difficult that it's just, like, yeah, I don't know. There's people that really do love that game, but I do think it got a little bit overhyped when it first came out by, like, reviews and such.
Yep. Yeah, and I was hearing people on a podcast today being like, oh, this is so great. I'm like...
It so reminded me of Death's Door, too, like, which is, like... I don't know. I should go back and play that game, I guess. But, like, those two games, like, look and play so similar, and they're within a year of each other. Anyways, I don't know.
Yep. Well, that's the end of Tunic for me. I deleted it. Yeah, it's off my hard drive now. There were a couple other achievements I could have gone and got, but I'm like, I don't need to. Because, like, I would have to start a whole new game up. To get one of them, one of the achievements is to get the gun that you get in the quarry to get it before you get the sword. I don't even know how you do it.
Okay.
Because
by a secret path that you can't see.
There is a path there that I did not know about.
Yeah.
Like, if you go up all the way to the top, mm-hmm. and you can actually slip down into the quarry early. But
that's probably it.
Yeah, it's just, but still, you'd have to avoid the enemies to get the gun. Anyway, that's it for Tunic. I'm gonna play play one of Earl's favorites from this year. Next, Nobody Saves the World.
I've played a little bit of that. That's pretty good.
You did like that, Earl, right?
I am. What was I gonna say? I'm still liking it. I did play it this week.
Okay.
I didn't update. I played that, and I played more Aliens Fire Team. I did enjoy both of those this week. Did I talk about it? I talked about Aliens Fire Team.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is actually. I think me and my friends are kind of in agreement. I think I said this on the podcast. Much better game than Back 4 Blood was at what it wants to be, in that kind of like co-op horde-ish mode. I think the Xenomorphs are a fun addition because so many of them are just zombies. But yeah, Nobody Saves the World is a ton of fun. The only issue I'm running into now is just like grinding all this stuff to like unlock certain classes and characters. And sometimes I still find the map a bit weird as to where you need to go, but there's enough to do on the way that it's not a hassle.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not far in that game. I'll probably like be confused when I go back to it, but what I've played of it, I think it's pretty neat. Pretty like cool spin on that genre, like where you're like you're swapping out like your characters constantly because they could do different things. Yeah. Like, oh, there's a little hole I have to get through. I'll turn into the rat. But it's like you have to like level up all the different characters that you have, or like I don't know. I don't know if you could just commit to one for the most part or not. Like I don't know how. I'm not super far into it, but
no,
it seems like they constantly want you swapping. You played it, Tony?
Yeah, my son. I've watched my son play it.
Not it seems like they want you swapping because, like, the way the skill tree goes up.
But not only the skill tree, but you do get to a point in the game where, like, certain enemies are weak against certain types. So you do want the enemies. So you want somebody who does blunt damage and poison damage. Now, granted, you don't have to level them up as, like, they're necessarily weak because, like, you level up the character nobody itself. But like as you level up, you can unlock more. Like you know, you get the 4 abilities and you get 4 passive abilities. Everybody has, I think, 3 moves and stuff like that. But then around the third move, they start asking you to kind of mix it up and introduce like here's the muscle man with some poison attacks and stuff like that. And I do enjoy that when they ask you specific things. And I mean, I get it. I wish that the quick change would have all the characters, but then there's only, 8 cardinal directions, so it makes it easier to actually pick who you want to pick.
Yeah. Nice. It's pretty neat. I don't know why. I play it for a little bit and I go, oh, this is neat, and then I just play something else.
I think there's a weekly rewards quest for playing it, so I'm gonna jump into that this week, and then I will report to you on Battle in Wonderworld too, Jeff. I'll give you an update on that beforehand. Yes, I did.
How many days are left on that sale?
It's at least, I think it was said 10 days when I bought it. I'll double check. I will let you know if it is the nightmare.
I played the demo. I thought did you play the demo of that game?
No.
It's really bad. Like, it's really, really bad.
I think I played the demo, and I said I would never touch that game again, so.
Yeah, there's part of me that's like, you know, a good game will be on sale for $12. But I'm happy I talked you into it. I mean, I'd be happy to hear what you have to say.
It wasn't me.
I came out of work today going, my boss ended up taking me out to lunch with people that were visiting the office, and I was like, well, that saved me $14 that I was going to spend on lunch. I could use that to buy about. And then I went to go buy it, and I had that $10 that Microsoft had gifted me. So it ended up only costing $2.71. And that seems like a fair price for that.
That'd be worth it for a few laughs on the podcast.
Yeah.
You telling how fucking nightmarish it was.
I might stream a little bit of it just to be, this is so bad. And who knows, maybe I'll come out of it going, this is not as bad as
you will not. No, dude, trust me. You will not. You will, it's like if they made Sonic Adventure now and it played just like Sonic Adventure but worse. Like...
Oh, okay. Speaking of Sonic Adventure, this is very off brand. But when we were at PAX, there was a hardware manufacturer that they don't make the headphones, but they make the pads that are inside the headphones. And so, like, there are these additions, on, like, you put them under your headphones, and they create noise canceling around your ear, and they're supposed to be super soft and made out of, like, goat leather or something. Anyway, this guy looked really bored, and we were just kind of standing around, and he comes up to us, he's like, he asked my son if he wants to play, and my son's like, whatever, like, I'll sit down. He's like, what? Oh, it's Sonic. And it was Sonic Adventure. And my son was like, this game is, like, he's playing. He's like,
it's unplayable.
And he's like, I don't know what to do. It doesn't make sense. So he's like trying to jump and stuff. And I'm like, all right, like the sales guy walked away. Let's go. He got up and we snuck away from there. I mean, he was really nice. He told me all about the headphones. He didn't really seem all that interested in being there. Like, he was just being paid to be there. And he wanted somebody to sit down at their computer and play something. But why you would have Sonic Adventure in 2022 up on your PC to be played was beyond me. But
he wanted to demo that sweet, sweet music for you.
I mean, is the sound good in that game? I don't understand.
The music is good. Looks good. Like, I mean,
the funniest thing about that is that he didn't like ask my son to put the headphones on to try them. So the headphones are just like leaning on like a stand. And my son is just sitting there in front of this computer playing Sonic Adventure.
With no sound.
With no sound. The headphones that this guy is supposed to be like showcasing are just sitting there. He did not want to be there.
I'm glad we haven't mentioned the product name, because God, this guy would be so fired.
Yeah, I cannot tell you what they were. I'm really like,
but I more than that though, why would you pick Sonic Adventure to show off? Don't get me wrong, I love Sonic Adventure's soundtrack. I own both of them on vinyl. They had some really great butt rock songs. But it is also a 20-plus year game.
Yep.
That probably does not have like the best surround sound and stuff like that. Like, I imagine stereo. Like, there are probably any number of games.
Hundreds and hundreds of games that you could probably choose that would work better.
So yeah. Many games with way better sound.
I'm probably sure you could have picked Sonic Forces or Sonic Mania with better sound.
Made no sense. Oh, all right, Jeff. What have you played?
I played a semi-new game, Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
That's not semi-new. That's new.
That's new. New.
It's have we been never out talked for like about a month. That?
I. That's still new.
Yeah.
Okay. So have. No one else has played it.
Earl played
I have
the
not
demo,
played it.
Right?
My kids yeah. have been playing demo. It obsessively since it came out. So yeah. Apparently, it's good.
It is good. It's very good. I mean, we had talked about it like the night the demo came out, and I played like a level of the demo, and
you were not sold on it then.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not getting this because I just felt like, oh, this is just Kirby, which it is, but
I'm glad you stuck to your conviction.
I needed something new at some point. I'd been playing Elden Ring for 2 months. Obsessively, and like I needed something to pull me off of that, and I would play stuff like Nobody Saves the World or whatever, and it just wasn't pulling me away enough. And I was like, well, if I get a $60 game, I'm gonna want to play through that because I've spent $60 on it. And it really helped that it turns out Kirby is like really fun and a really good game. Chris, I know you picked it up. I guess Tony, your kid's playing it. Earl, I thought you did not get that game.
Earl's dead.
All right. Well,
rest in peace. Earl's died next to Kirby. He ate too much.
Oh no.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could recommend it as a $60 buy, but it is like a really fun, awesome platformer. So, I think we've compared it to like Super Mario 3D World or whatever. It's very much like that. It's,
well, it's the first time Kirby's been in 3D, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's not like yes, it's a 3D, it's 3D platformer, but it is, you select a course off of an overworld map, you go into that course, and it is kind of a linear 3D course. You're like going down a path towards an end goal. But the levels, for one, I'd say the levels are longer than most platforming courses usually are in video games. Usually they're, 2-3 minutes long.
Yeah.
I'd say the levels here are probably at least 5 minutes, if not longer, often. So that's kind of cool. You can kind of like, even though you're going on like kind of a straight path, you're kind of getting lost in the levels. And then helping that is that like there's so many nooks and crannies in the levels. Like there's so many, you'll see something that looks like a secret, and of course it is, and then it opens a door. And that door leads into a little mini section within the level. So there's lots of, even though it's like a straight path platformer, there's lots of exploration within that. Besides the main levels, there's like these little mini levels all over the place. The kind of little like challenges where the like, we're going to give you the fire ability or the ice ability, and you have to run through this shorter course that's designed for that ability. And you have to do those because those give you an item that you need to level up your abilities, which I think is another cool thing in this game. Like every ability could be leveled up twice. So there's a little bit of an RPG element. It's just cool to see like, your bombs go from, just regular bombs that you throw to chain bombs, like they kind of chain together and create damage, to homing bombs where you could throw the bomb out and it'll just chase after the enemy. And every single ability in the game has that you could level up. But in order to level up, you have to do these little mini levels to get the item to, get enough of those items to level it up. So I love both of those things. I think the boss fights are awesome in this game. Like they're, nothing like crazy hard, but near the end, like the final boss, I think I fought like 6-7 times before I beat him. And the bosses are kind of like, I felt clearly inspired by Dark Souls and Elden Ring.
Oh, sure. Sure they were. Sure.
I mean, it's a standard kind
still,
of
still a game for kids.
No,
it's an open world game inspired by Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and everything is inspired by Dark Souls now.
I really do feel like the because you're going back to the boss has a health bar and you can kill him any way you can think of.
So Skyrim, just,
like, they have the look, like the fights have the look, like you're like It just has that like feel of that, like the patterns that the bosses will do are very similar to I posted a video of the final boss, like they're doing things that are like straight up that bosses do in From Software games. Like it really does feel inspired by that, and the bosses actually, like I said, do get a little tough near the end.
I was going to ask without too much of a spoilers, because it's a Kirby game. And Kirby is like one of the most fascinating franchises in gaming, because Kirby is all about like this cute, adorable pink puff fighting a tree, and his big enemy is a penguin. And then somewhere near the end of the game, it's like Kirby's gonna take on God. And does that happen in this game?
Did you fight God, Jeff?
Does Kirby eat God? Does Kirby become God at the end of it?
God's got to look pretty tasty.
No, it sounds like a joke, but that happened.
Yeah.
In almost all of the Kirby games, where it's like, oh, it's super adorable. He's fighting a tree. He's like getting all these fun powers. And then like the last, two worlds, it's like, okay, like there's this huge god, and Kirby now has to take on like this ancient deity from outer space or something like that. And it's like, what the hell happened to this game? So, I mean, it's always fun. It's just such a random twist in that franchise.
I don't think you get to do the tree thing in this one. You know what? Right from the jump, like the early bosses are good too. And the early bosses feel inspired by From Software. Like it's pattern recognition. You have to.
But that's not a From Software thing.
That's something I guess they kind of brought back. I would say
I don't think that's
there's true there's two different ways. There's the Zelda way where it's like I have to figure out the puzzle to this boss. This is not like that. It's like you have to get good at. Okay, I know he's going to throw 5 needles. I have to keep running while he's throwing the needles. Then he's going to swoop in and try to attack me.
Let's not give Fred from Software credit for inventing this.
Yeah.
It's not a concept they came
boss
up with.
Fights, but it's that style of boss
fight. I also would have said he brought it back. If anything, I would say that's more Monster Hunter's thing. That was what Monster Hunter brought to the table, because that is really all Monster Hunter is a boss rush.
I think that like Monster Hunter and From Software bosses are like in the same kind of wheelhouse. It's that type of boss fight, and it's really fun. Like, it gives you that like where you have to like learn what they're doing without it being like overly difficult.
I'm going to play this game, which will probably be the. I have not played a Kirby. I own Kirby games, but I have not played and finished a Kirby game since Kirby's Adventure.
Oh God!
NES one?
Yeah, it's the only one I've ever finished. So
I'm weird with that series because, like, I've played a lot of them, and I often actually really do like them. Like, I stand by the Wii U one where it was like drawing on the screen. I thought that was like a really solid game. But this is like more traditional, like going back to like, you know, Kirby's Adventure type game. It's just giving you these 3D world courses.
Yeah, that
with
was
cool bosses. That you was know, what, like
Rainbow Curse was the Wii U one.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really cool game.
And I watched my son and my wife played Kirby's Epic Yarn on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an adorable game. That is so sickeningly adorable. I love that game so much. It is just so, so adorable.
You know what my favorite thing, like, honestly, my favorite thing, or it's two favorite things. One is, at the end of, like, every level, Kirby does this little dance, and then they play this song. It's, like, whatever, like, the Kirby song. I fucking love it. Like, every time, I'm like, listen, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. My other favorite thing is, like, the mouthful mode in this game. I'll just every time, so like Melissa will be, she's sitting there playing Diablo on her Switch next to me. I'll be like, Melissa, look, I'm gonna suck off this cone. Watch me suck off this cone. Melissa, look, I'm gonna suck off this vending machine. Like, I just, to the point where after like 2 days, she's just like, you shut the fuck up with sucking off every fucking object in the game. That's another like cool, like, it's like a little gimmick in the game. Like, I'm sure you guys, you know, we've talked about mouthful mode, but some of it is like, feels really good and fun. Like, for instance, the car feels really good. Like, you know, you just like, you hold down a button, you're doing turbo, just like smashing through fucking walls and shit with it. Like, I don't know, the game just it's like top quality shit. It's just like, honestly, my only real complaint with it is it's very short for what it is. Like, the levels themselves are long, but the game itself is short. Like,
you said there's six worlds.
Is that right? Six? It's like 5 or 6 worlds. It's okay. Very short. Like, you think in your head, like, your standard, you know, the mold for like a platformer is 8 worlds, right? So it just feels super abrupt. Like, you're like, oh, I'm already at the final world. Like, I was having so much fun. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't overstay its welcome, I guess. You
know? I will also say, because I do know this, and I've seen people talk about it, is that there is a lot of there's post-game content, which includes additional bosses and the actual final boss of the game. Yes.
I didn't notice it. If it said something to me after I beat the game, I did not notice it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, because I believe you don't fight Meta Knight in the game either.
No, you fight DDD, and then there's like this fucking flying dude.
So, I think it's the arena. There's a lot of like actual bosses, and then there's actual content that it, yes, it becomes a bigger. I don't know if it's like, I don't know how much longer it is, but there is, because like there's a final boss in the game.
Okay, but it's still like the main game itself is pretty short, like 6 worlds. Even though they're, you know, crammed full of stuff and there's lots of like mini levels that you kind of have to do. I don't know. It felt like I was so happy to have something that was good enough to pull me off of Elden Ring, but now I'm like,
no.
Well, I guess I did that. So I'm playing Diablo 3 now on the Switch and the Xbox.
That's all right.
It's fun. Although going back to Diablo 3 now after playing Diablo 2, like, talk about easy. Like, dude, that game is like ridiculous. Like, what's the point of like, why not just play it on the highest difficulty? Because it doesn't fucking matter if you die. Like, it really does not fucking matter. Like, and I literally, like, I was playing it, you know, the first night of playing Diablo 3, I'm like, I Google, what is the death penalty in Diablo 3? And it's like, I see people complaining about that, about how, like, you could just die and spawn right on your corpse. Like, so it doesn't matter. You don't have to, like, try to strategize at all while you're fighting anything.
Right, what's the death penalty in 2?
Well, 2, it's like, first off, you get sent back to, like, wherever the last, like, portal or whatever is.
Yeah, you have to get sent back to camp, don't you?
Yeah, and then you have to make it back to where you died and collect your body to get your gold and shit back. Like, it's actually kind of a heavy penalty, because I think you lose your gear and everything. Like, so like you're like running around naked trying to get back to your body.
The world does like if you've killed enemies there, basically you're running through. And they're already dead, right? They don't respawn.
So it'll just be empty. Yeah, shit. Yeah.
But if you were running through, yeah,
that means you have to walk. There has to be something, and Diablo 3 gives you like. So I had to Google it, and the answer is that like you lose some durability on your gear, and so like you have to repair more for dying. It's like, and then on top of it, I'm playing on hard, and I think I've died once.
And
the whole first act.
And if you're playing Diablo the way most people play it, like durability on your armor doesn't mean shit because you're picking up new pieces anyway
and changing it out all the time.
Yeah.
Is there like a hardcore mode? I don't remember.
To people that were complaining, everyone was like, "Just play hardcore, dude." And it's like, "All right, dude." There's got to be a happy medium between.
Yeah, because like that's such
I don't want to lose everything if I die once. Yeah. Like that's not the death penalty I want. I want some sort of incentive to try to stay alive, you know. But
that's the ultimate incentive, Jeff.
It's
real, like, death if you die.
Real stakes. But you know, I've this game I've played a bunch of times already before, and you guys all have. I think I'm finally playing like the one class I haven't, which is Monk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a Monk on the Switch, and then I'm doing a Wizard on the Xbox. It's a super great game. It's just like that one element they needed to do something with. And I'm definitely going to bump up the difficulty on both games to Expert, because it's just a cakewalk. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't need games to be hard, but I do need, like, you feel like there's danger at some point, you know, like you're not getting, like, I don't get any of that out of Diablo 3. It's just like sometimes a boss type enemy will take longer to kill. Other than that, it's just it's a breeze. Like my friend is telling me, like, he's like, dude, I have every character fucking maxed the fuck out. I could carry you through any level. And I'm like, I don't need anyone to carry me through this. It's like fucking, I'm sleepwalking through it as it is. Like, but anyways, not to veer into Diablo 3 out of nowhere, but Kirby, it's a great game.
Cool.
Kirby coming right back at you.
Great, yet. Slightly short game.
We've been going pretty long here. I did put two other pieces down. Did you guys hear about the PlayStation Plus Premium that basically you have to have a timed demo of some sort up if your game is $35 or more?
No.
Yeah. It's like 5 hours or something like that.
It's something like that. I'm not sure if it's five or a little bit less, but yeah, it's a chunk of time. I don't know.
Wait.
What was that, Jeff?
Explain to me exactly what you're saying again.
So
like,
if you have PlayStation Plus Premium, which is, I guess, their highest tier of their redone PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, the new thing that they're doing, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, so
it's their most expensive tier. You now get access to 2 hours of, and it seems like they're making this mandatory for all games that are over $35. You would get access.
Any game that releases that must be on PlayStation 5
has to have a 2 hour demo for PlayStation Plus Premium members.
Kind of dig it.
I really don't know how you get some people to enforce that, to actually sign on for that, because I mean, there are games that like let's say Kirby, right? Like, how long do you think you played it for, Jeff? Like, not that Kirby's going to show up on PlayStation 5, but
I'd say 7 to 9 hours, somewhere there.
That's like a quarter of the game, then. Like,
you're gonna want it though. You're gonna want the rest of that game. There's certain games though that you could get most out of,
right?
And are over $35, but that's. I kind of feel like. I like that. It's like first of them saying, "Dude, your game should not cost that much. You can see all of it in 2 hours."
Oh, I don't disagree. I'm just like, I'm wondering where developers are going to fall on this, right? Because, like, you know, they're releasing like a 6 hour game or whatever, and you're getting to play 2 hours of it up front.
Make it good enough that people are going to want to play the rest of that game, I guess. I don't know.
You got like Mortal Kombat, where somebody's like, I don't want to play the multiplayer, I just want to play the campaign.
Yeah,
you could almost do that in that time, right? It's,
I mean, and like that's all I play of fighting games, right? Like,
I'd say that Mortal Kombat's a little over 2 hours.
Maybe Mortal Kombat's not the right one, but like,
I know, that's a good example though, like
Tekken or something like that. That's right. Going to be a little bit shorter. Yeah, it's just like it's. I don't mind it. Like, look, I mean, I don't think I'm going to get PlayStation Plus Premium, but if I did, like, I would probably definitely utilize it to try some stuff out.
Go back to the Xbox, early Xbox Live days where, like, every arcade game had to have a demo.
Yep.
So it didn't have to, you know, it shouldn't, you know, have to be 2 hours, but your game has to have a fucking demo. That's what they should say if you want to. If you want it to be 2 hours, it still has to have a demo. I don't know, something.
Yeah, like the, you know, like I could see, you know, the new Turtles game. Like that's. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good example.
We don't know where that's gonna price out.
Watch that shit drop at $40, dude.
Right. But if it dropped at 40 and you need a 2 hour demo, like that's the entire game, like for sure.
Well, then I'm happy. Sony's slapping him in the face for that shit, man. Like, it's too much. It's not a $40 game.
I don't disagree, but I could see like that not being like it's a weird thing, and it's only
it would create a problem for them if it's $40 and it's easily beatable in 2 hours. Yeah. Like,
and it's only for the people that pay Sony the most money. Like, where's the benefit for the developer to do that? Because it's only benefiting Sony and their customers, their highest paying customers. So,
well, on that note, I thought this was the other piece of news you were going to talk about, or maybe you have it in your news, is that they are blocking people from stacking like PlayStation subscriptions now.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know if they're, but a lot of people have complained about that, and I've seen it on Twitter. which is such a weird pick, because it's like, I mean, I think we've discussed this on the show before, like Microsoft, like my Game Pass is going to expire in, I think, 2 or 3 months. I'm going to make it expire, stack on a bunch of Xbox Live things, and then convert it to Game Pass Ultimate. Microsoft's like, yeah, you know what? You subscribe to us for 3 years. Go for it however you want. Yep. Sony's like, no, we want all your money. We're not going to give you a discount. And it feels like, in my head, it's like, it seemed better to lock people in for two, three years now and get their money up front instead of like, oh, I might subscribe, I might not.
Right, you're locked into the Game Pass ecosystem for 3 years if you do it your way, as opposed to, all right, well, you're not going to let me stack, so maybe I just don't get it at all.
Yeah. It's so disappointing. Like, again, they've made some really interesting choices with that, with regards to that. I think that one is, I think it's the first time I want it, because it's not only, because they're preventing you from actually using the card. So it is actually something that is, for once, quote unquote, anti-consumer.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The other thing I did have from that I noted down here is also from PlayStation, but it's not bad news. Not that time demos was bad, but that PlayStation card thing that you brought up is terrible. But PlayStation is creating a game preservation division. Don't know what that means. Nobody seems to know what that means. But for a company that's been like, you know, where their head was like, nobody wants to play old games, this definitely seems to be a turnaround on that line of thinking, which is good.
Seems like PR.
Yeah, probably.
But yes, I mean, I think it, like, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like famously, for example, like Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3, like at some point, Konami lost the source code, which is why the HD remasters are such crap, is because they kind of had to like build it off of like a disc and not like the original. So are they going and collecting like third part? It's like, you know, I think, what was it that came out recently? That Secret of Mana or Trials of Mana, one of those games, like it was on the Switch because Nintendo had stored the original copy from the Super Nintendo locally. So it's like, is that like, so that's video game preservation. It might not be front facing,
right?
But like, is that what Sony doing? Are they thinking of a museum? Yeah, like, does that mean?
Could mean a bunch of stuff. A lot of people were just like jumping on the speculation that they're going to have some sort of backwards compatibility enabled. I don't know. It would be great if they did, because I think one of the cool things about the Series X is and Xbox in general is that you can play stuff from the original Xbox all the way up to current games on their systems. And where Sony is like, you can play PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games and maybe some PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, but PlayStation 3 is effectively locked behind streaming only, because they have not figured out how to bring that forward. So if you want to play PlayStation 3 games natively on your hardware and not stream it, you have to play it on a PlayStation 3. And they are harder and harder to get now. Xbox 360s and PS3s are getting, like, they're tough to come by, and they're getting pricier as time goes on.
But is that preservation?
Right.
I feel like a lot of people use preservation as it, and I don't mean you, but I think a lot of people mean like, oh, I want access to it. I need access to it. That's not preservation.
Exactly.
Like I get what they're coming for, but that's not preservation. Preservation is like 200 years from now, or, you know, like there are like there are copies of movies that exist outside of like your DVDs and your Blu-rays that, you know, like a lot of times when you hear like somebody's like doing a 4K, it's like they went back to the original print and they cleaned that up to get it to how it was back then.
Yeah.
It's not the same as like, yeah, it's streaming. It's like you could have a streaming that's a rip of a DVD or something. That's right. Still
that's access.
Yes, and that's because people, it's one of those terms where it doesn't bother me, but whenever people say, oh, you know, this is about video game preservation, I'm like, but like if Nintendo shuts down the Wii's eShop, that doesn't mean it's not preserving the games. It just means you don't have access to them.
Right.
Like, they may have all those games on a server somewhere. It's preserved. You could, like, if they want to come back out with it in a few years, it's possible. But yes, I think the way people use those interchangeably is always weird to me.
Yeah, so we don't know what this actually means at this point. Could be anything. It could be, like you said, like a PlayStation Museum of sorts, or a library that they're gonna, you know, have an internal division that keeps track of, or it could be what, you know, people on Twitter are hoping for and allowing for you
to play games. I want to play all these games right now.
Yeah. Or the other possibility is that they're gonna start making jam. Like, there's gonna be a whole bunch of like
Sony, give me some strawberry jam. Preservation.
Give me some strawberry God of War. I'm gonna spread that on my bread.
Mr. Mosquito Jam.
Yeah.
Could be that, Tony. I can't wait for that God of War branded strawberry jelly.
Give it time.
you have to put it on your bread with the Blades of Chaos. It's really hard.
Well, you got that new axe now, the Leviathan axe. It might be a little bit easier with that.
You put the bread on the other side of the room and throw it over there.
I was going to say, you throw it, and then you come back and it cuts the sandwich in half.
Give you that nice thump. You put Atreus in the middle of it, and you can just smack him in the head.
No, boy, bring me my sandwich. And positive news for me, and me alone, Nintendo dated Xenoblade Chronicles 3, because I don't think you folks recorded it last week.
No.
And it's one of the rare cases of a game actually moving up its release date. But I think when they announced it at the end of last year, they said it was coming out in September of this year.
Yes.
And now it's coming out in July 29th. So, yeah, I absolutely adore the Xenoblade franchise, and I can't wait for 3. That also is getting a special edition. I have a special edition of every game in the franchise so far, so I'm going to add a fourth one.
I'm so fascinated by your appreciation and love for this when you don't really enjoy RPGs. Like,
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I think it was just one of those things where the combat system works for me. I know it does not work for everybody. And I think it's partially because it asks a lot of you and not at the same time. Because, like, you don't control your character's, like, normal attacks. And so it's kind of like, okay, so you handle that. I'm not mashing buttons. I'm positioning. I'm thinking strategy. So it's like part of it takes – it's more engaging than turn-based, because I find turn-based is you pick some stuff, you watch them play out. I'm sure people are going to like, oh, but there's active time battle and there's like, you know, waste. I'm like, whatever.
I love old school JRPGs, but a lot of it is just hold A down and let the battle play out.
Yes, which is what I think. So yeah, it's never been my jam. Like, I think it's fine for a while, but then you get these games that are like 70 hours that's held up on a system where it's like, oh, I got to go through all these menus and like equip these weapons and gems and stones and
the best part.
And then you know, like, I think a lot of older games, I think they've gotten better with time, where it's like, oh, the only people you have up are people in your party, which ultimately just means that there's a bunch of people you don't use, because I'm like, I just spent like 10 hours with these people. They're like 20 levels higher than anybody else. Why would I switch out somebody now? Like, you get new characters and they tend to even out sometimes. And I think Xenoblade kind of got rid of a lot of that for me. I think it was kind of the Activision mentality at the time. where like you got XP for everything. You got XP for finding new locations. You got XP for finding save points or like save like fast travel towers. The fact that you could fast travel anywhere without needing to like, okay, I have to run back into town, to turn in this quest, and then run back out to the field. The fact that it's not necessarily a resource management game. Like the game auto heals you after every battle. You don't have to worry about like, oh man, do I have enough potions? Do I have enough mana? There are ways they use that in this. Like you do have to manage your health and your abilities during combat, but like outside of it, it's like it's just not a thing I need to worry about. There's other stuff that compensates for a game, but I've just found that it's aging in a way. And the other thing I will say, and I discussed with my friend, is that it's funny enough, but I also do take massive breaks in between all of them. I can beat 1, 2, and Turin. I think like a 5-month break between like the first half and the second half of the game. And I think it's probably 3 or 4 months. Turin is short enough that I beat that in like one go. So,
well, what about X?
I have not finished X actually, and I think X is because it got it. I like the giant mechas. They took way too long to come in. But I actually had some issues with just the layout of the game. My biggest one was whenever you had to switch party members. I thought that was such a... I get what they were going for. I think it's such a stupid system that you really have to find them in town every time you want to switch to them. Ooh. And I get that they kind of... I get that they kind of stayed stationary, but then it's like, oh, Carl, I need so-and-so for mission, which means that then I have to go level this person up, or I need to take this person... Oh, crap, no, this person's in the hangar, this person on the other side of town, I gotta run around for like 5-10 minutes to make sure I get both of them and make sure that their loyalty or their is high. I'm like, yeah. It was just not fun. And I know it's a very minor part, but you do it often enough that it becomes a hassle. But I did like the world of that one. I think the other thing that bothered me, which I do prefer about 1 and 2, is that you are a created character in X, which means you don't really have a character. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a huge fan of Shulk. Rex is okay. And I forget who it is in Turin, but I like that. I like to define characters. I don't mind if it's an NPC, but then it's kind of like weird because you don't talk. It's like that Nintendo thing where it's like the characters speak to you and you respond, but you don't respond. Right. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll hear more about Xenoblade in 3 months.
3 months. Well,
yay!
I was going to say, on the fifth side, we also got dated for Splatoon 3, which is now out in September, which is technically still not incorrect. I think they said it was summer 2022. So that's still around the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess
it's cool that they're still releasing games for a dead console.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, I get it, but we had MPD's numbers this week, and it's still weird that the PlayStation 5 is the worst. I don't want to say worst on because they are. It's the least selling console of the year so far. Xbox leads by revenue, and I think Switch leads by actual units moved. Yeah. And this short is just, yeah, it's interesting because it's also such a, what was I going to say? It's so inverse because you look at it and like Elden Ring, it's not exclusive, but I assume it sells best on PlayStation. Gran Turismo 7 was on it. Horizon Forbidden West.
So many people I know only have the PlayStation. If they have a new console, it's the PlayStation 5, you know, which is weird because it's
like
impossible.
So software is moving, which is kind of ironic. It's inverse of Japan where hardware sells, nobody's actually buying games for it. But yeah, it's like that they really kind of screwed the pooch. I mean, what's actually been helping Microsoft is that much smaller, much cheaper to produce S. Because I've gone to several stores and you will see a bunch of S's in stock and people pick them up because it does everything you want it to do and it has a disk drive still. So
the S doesn't have a disk drive.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay.
No.
But yes.
I'm actually thinking about picking up an S at some point, especially if they introduce that family plan. Because then I can have my wife or kids, they'd be able to have their own Game Pass through mine, and access the library that way.
I don't know if there's a truth to it, but I like to believe that Game Pass has something to do too with you know, Xbox picking up Steam a little bit. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Game Pass is just like such a standard setter. It's just like it changed the game. Like,
it definitely seems to have had an impact, because Microsoft also had their financials this week, and I believe that the gaming division is up 6%, and they said it's based on a strong Game Pass and Series X sales. So
It's like one thing, you know, everyone has like those people at work that come to you because you're the video game person, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess someone that comes to me like, you know, which one should I get for my kids? Like, should I get the Xbox or the PlayStation? And I'm always like, my standard answer is, well, they're going to want to play with their friends, so get what their friends have. But, you know, if I'm being honest, like, in my opinion, that, you know, I think Game Pass is a great deal. It's like Netflix, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right, and you get like, you get their biggest games, like the biggest Microsoft games on it.
It's like, essentially, you're going to get games for free on Xbox. Like, not for free, but whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I try to explain that to people. I gotta explain this to people. Like, my personal preference, you know, I don't have a PlayStation 5, but my personal preference would be the Xbox because of that. Also, I just like the Xbox controller more.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I will say that I do think that, like, on paper, like, I mean, if push comes to shove right now, I think I'd recommend the PlayStation 5, just because I do think it has a steadier stream of software. In terms of like what's differential, because you know, you've had Horizon, we have Gran Turismo, you've had Spider-Man, you've had Ratchet, you have Returnal, where but like, it's hard to like, it's a better stream, but like, you think about the fact, like, I mean, like, look at it today, like NBA 2K, like, yes, it's the NBA finals, but like, yeah, it's still available in Game Pass,
free AAA game. Also, like, the other thing, and this is more for, I guess, us, but it's like, all these studios Microsoft has, it's going to pay off at some point, right? Like, it's gotta. Like,
it has to at some point.
We say that, but it's also been several years of us saying, like, it has to be this game.
It's still, like, very light. It's I want a big RPG from Microsoft this fall. I do.
I mean,
you're not getting one. It's not going to happen. You would already know.
No, there's...
Starfield's coming out.
Starfield.
Is that
if it comes out, it's dated. It will be their big. Go ahead, Jeff.
It'll be their big spring game. Get excited!
You're probably right, Tony. But like, with all these studios, there should be a big RPG every year. Like, because that's just kind of like what I'm into, is that genre more. Like, it's like there should be some big RPG every year.
And they have multiple studios now that can do that.
I know.
Because, I mean, you have Bethesda, proper.
Obsidian.
You have Playground working on Fable, which evidently that's not going great. You have In Exile.
They need to crack the whip on these studios a little bit. Fucking make them work overtime. I want to see stories about horrible working conditions.
No, you don't, Jeff. But also... It does seem like I'm not advocating for what Jeff is here, but
fucking beat these games out of these people, goddammit.
But it does seem that Microsoft is maybe a little too lax with them.
No, I do think they are, and then they'll kind of just like admit that something's not working out. Like, what was that? Wasn't Platinum Games working on like a big RPG for them, and they just got
Scalebound.
Like,
they killed.
Like, fuck.
That was a while ago now, though.
But it's just, that's an example. Like,
that's like stuff like that happens all the time, and like
I think the better example recently is whatever happened in with Perfect Dark.
Like, it's mostly Stone Common, right? Or no?
Well, I mean, it started over with a new studio.
The Initiative was the one that's going to be doing it, and now it's been transferred out of there. It's messy. And it seems to be because they just let these studios kind of do whatever. And
yes, to kind of tie it into
in charge with my iron fist fucking coming down on them.
But to kind of tie it into the current events, but entertainment, not to anything too heavy. It's kind of like what Netflix is facing and is fucking in now. Netflix mentality was like, yes, here's money, do your thing.
Yeah.
And at some point, like, that can work for a while, but you do need people there being like, what are you working on? What is this? Like, we need to hit some deadlines. And I think Microsoft, you know, best ESO, seem to be very hands-off. Like, we bought the best of the best in-game development. Folks, you know what you need to do. Spend
7 years working on a game. Like,
right. Yes. And I think that's what they need to manage that.
There should be a little bit of a happy medium, right? Like, it's like, I don't truthfully want them to be torturing these people a little bit, but but at the same time, you give them too long of a leash of like, all right, dude, like, what are you guys doing? Fucking around at home, fucking not doing anything. Like, what are you doing? Like,
yes,
where's the results? Like,
there is no reason that there should. I mean, I could be misspeaking. There has been no first party title since Halo Infinite.
That's accurate.
And yeah,
that was 6 months ago. Yeah.
There's been no news on what's coming for Xbox since Halo Infinite.
They're having a showcase coming up.
I know, but this is a company that owns like what, like 40 studios? Like, they own
seven publishers.
Chunk of the industry. Like, there should be. I should not be like having to play Diablo 3 right now, to be honest.
That's Microsoft's fault. Jeff's playing Diablo 3.
I was gonna say, that's your choice, but
no, hey, but like,
and Jeff, you know, probably soon to be an Xbox game. So,
but yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, there should be somebody being like, what are you working on? Let's like maximize this. This shit, like, the amount of studios they own, there should be a game. It doesn't have to be big games. It doesn't have to, like, and not every game is going to be like this, you know, Skyrim or.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like, there's not even like, I don't even know if there's been downloadable titles.
No, there is something coming up shortly. It seems like it's like a narrative adventure game, not a, not anything most people will play. But there's not been anything published by Microsoft since Halo. And we don't really have word on anything until June.
That's bullshit. How do you own all, like, literally a huge chunk of the industry and ain't nothing coming out? Like, even fucking Nintendo put out Kirby. It was fun. It's awesome. Like,
Nintendo also has a game out tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. Are you getting that?
And
I might.
And it looks like Sony seems to have a tighter rein on their studios. Like, the only one that they don't seem to have control over is Polyphony, who just releases Gran Turismo whenever the hell they want to.
Yes, but that, I mean, it comes out, it does well.
Yeah.
But yes, they are, I mean, to be fair right now, though, I don't think they have anything dated either.
No, they don't. God of War is supposed to be later this year.
But they've had games this year.
Yep. Multiple games, yeah.
Yeah. So that is the thing. It's like, it's so weird that, like, because it's not even like, it would be, I get COVID. I get COVID happened. But, like, it's not even like these were announcements of studios they purchased in, like, 2020 or even 2019. Some of these they've owned for
5 years now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you knew you were launching a system. And I don't even want to say you were launching a system, because this is the second year of the system.
We are coming up on, it's like 18 months since the system launched.
So, like,
they had a good fall last. I mean, they did, you know, you had Forza Horizon, which was awesome, and Halo, which was pretty good. There needs to be more of a steady stream. Like, when you own that much, like, it's just. I don't know. There should be stuff. There should be something like right now for me that's new, that's exciting.
At
like,
the very least, there should be something every 3 months for like for you to.
There's really actually be looking forward to too. Like, there's right. nothing really.
Right, like the next big game that we know of for them is November, and Tony's not confident that's going to hit. But
I think Tony might be right.
I mean, I usually anything of it.
But you know, if that does come out, then I am excited for that for sure. Like,
oh, there's games that I'm excited for. I'm also excited for that Redfall or whatever that game is called
from Arcane. Yeah.
Yes, but like. Knowing it exists, there's like a bunch of games we know exist.
That is the other thing that we will likely get. What was the Deathloop? We'll likely get that probably in September. Deathloop.
But I mean, like, we'll get it, and it's gonna be nifty. But it is also
it's already a year old. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
No, step it up, Microsoft. You've been put on notice.
Like it's Jeff. Insane to think. It's insane to think about it. That Nintendo is the smallest of the three big publishers as far as like development studio sizes go.
Like, for as much shit as I'm giving them, like it seems like they actually care about like having things to look forward to at all times. Like,
well, yes, and they're very good at managing that because like there are games that I mean I don't want to say we know, but there are games that they finish and they sit on until it's like either fits into a schedule or there's going to be a window. Yes.
Metroid Prime Trilogy, we're going to sit on this until fucking forever.
I was going to say, famously, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze was held over from like the holiday season 2013 because they had, I think, 3D World and stuff like that. So they were able to sit on that. Yeah, it was ready to go, and they held it until like February of the next year, so they had something in Q1. I'm sure there's other games that
I wonder if some of that on Nintendo's side, though, is for. Since the N64, third-party support has been
them. And that's definitely been it. It's like them knowing that they have to kind of support the system because, like, we talk about that, but like, what are the third-party games coming to that system this year that are like? I'm sure there's some that you know somebody's going to mention. Like I think that Ego game you mentioned is coming there. You know, I think. Yeah, I don't know what third-party games they're getting. Oh, there's some Square games, I think, coming out and stuff like that. They think they're getting that Marvel Sun, Rising Sun
game.
I mean, the Switch gets the most since the GameCube, I would say. Like, it gets decent
cross-platform. But it's also like one of those things where it's like it does that, but it's also a lot of them tend to be...
Anything like, that's super huge, AAA, is not like
they got Bucksnax. They got Bucksnax today.
Yeah, you can get Bucksnax.
When it is like a game like Guardians of the Galaxy, which didn't hit, but like a game like that, it's streaming, right? Like,
well, it did
certain
hit.
certain ones,
and it was streaming. You
know, yeah.
Same thing with Control.
Yeah. And that's like the system is just underpowered next to like the Series X and PlayStation 5. So, well, Microsoft, get it together. Jeff says so.
I think we all say so. I mean, I need new games on my Game Pass. I mean, I went through and I downloaded some indie titles, which you need a better term for because I feel like it's always derogatory when you say indies, but.
Yeah, I don't single A. It's probably worse. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Maybe with what's it? Switch Sports now. It's not Wii Sports, right?
Yeah, it's Nintendo Switch Sports. Because the name is actually Nintendo Switch, which is always such a weird thing because I don't think anybody calls it that.
No. Maybe that and probably some other stuff as well.
Well, you have Balan Wonderland, so I'm very curious to hear about that.
I think I will stream some of that, so I will announce that on my Twitter. Come watch me play that nightmare for $271. Jeff, say goodnight. or don't.
Jeff's dead. He resigns.
Jeff checked out early. He's like, I'm done.
Bye, Jeff.
Did he just fall asleep? Like...
He's just so mad at Microsoft right now.
He's writing some tweets right now. He's angrily typing into his phone.
He's out there plotting how to get them to work overtime and crunch.
He's looking at whips.
Jesus.
Handcuffs.
All right. Well, we don't know where Jeff went. Earl, say goodnight. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.
Where did you go?
I had to be. I walked in and he's looking at whips.